This is a podcast from Consilio. We bring people together to create better places.
Hello and welcome to Better Places, the podcast from Consilio, where we talk about planning, politics and development from across London. In today's episode, our very own Sidhu Dwyer interviews Councillor Andrew Judge, Cabinet Member for Housing and Sustainable Development in the London Borough of Merton.
I'm Sidhu Dwyer, the account director here at Consilio Communications, and we're delighted to have Councillor Andrew Judge, the cabinet lead for housing and sustainable development at the London Borough of Merton. Welcome, Andrew.
Hello, Sidhu.
And I think it's quite apt that we have you here today to discuss some of the major works that are taking place in the London Borough of Merton, not least because of the kind of plug of investment that you've had from the Mayor's office this week, which we'll touch on a bit later. But I wonder if we could start by discussing Merton's unique position as a kind of outer London borough that's competing for inward investment, and how your move to become a borough of sport fits into that. And some of the work that you are doing to drive investment in the borough?
Well, I think in Merton, we believe we have a borough with exceptional history and qualities. It's a borough of five town centres. It's got an exceptional history in terms of connections with William Morris, with Merton Priory. Would you believe Parliament's once sat in Collier's Wood, in a site that's now very close to the Sainsbury's and the adjoining petrol garage. But that was the first parliament to pass a statute of law, the Statute of Merton. So we're on the books at that time. We have a very strong cultural offer with Wimbledon Theatre, the Polka Children's Theatre, the Wimbledon Book Festival, the Wimbledon International Music Festival. We're developing the arts also in Mitcham. And we believe we have a very attractive environment for investors. In the past, we've focused on transformative placemaking in Wimbledon Town Centre and Raynes Park. Recently, Wimbledon Town Centre has been weathering a commercial office storm with difficulties in that market, but rental yields for us remain competitive within a London. And we have continued investment. Recently, the celebrated Wellington House, celebrated for its design on Wimbledon Hill Road, the new YMCA regional headquarters, and Romulus's complete overhaul of Wimbledon Shopping Centre. In planning terms, we have a strong environmental tradition. It was we that brought forward the Merton Rule in 2003, which was a planning requirement for 10% of on-site renewable energy, and that rule was followed by 140 councils and eventually the UK government in 2008. And we're now building our own council homes for the first time in a generation, and these will be 100% social rented based on passive house principles and, where possible, passive house certification. And we're very pleased with the money that's been announced this week by the Mayor in terms of grant funding, up to 50% of the construction costs of the first tranche of that housing, which is 93 homes on four sides. Merton's also a borough of sport. We have the oldest cricket pitch in the country in Mitcham. We've recently been able to enable a new football stadium for the resurgent club AFC Wimbledon. And, of course, we have the Wimbledon Tennis Championships known throughout the world. And we also have grassroots sports across the borough. Merton is a good place to play sports. And so we've capitalised on that, in a sense, and we've labelled ourselves as a borough of sports. And we're having a series of sports-related events for the benefit of residents across the borough. We had, for instance, last summer, a very large sporting event at the Cannons, where residents were invited to participate in 40-odd different sporting activities.
Thank you so much. And I was really intrigued by your big Swarton Day that you had for residents, and that you've had about 5,000 attend across the borough. It's something that you partnered with London Broncos that have now found Merton to be their new home. How do you think the borough sport fits into your, or can you delve a bit more into how the borough sport fits into your new investment plans and how you see that encouraging investment in your town centres, but also around the civic pride that you're trying to instill in your high streets? And
well, I think we've got the advantage of some excellent green spaces. And we know residents cherish those, and so do many who work in businesses in the borough. You know, when they have time over from work and able to go in the local park and such like. But we know, in order to attract investment in the future, we need to look at the positives and do our best to sustain them and enhance them. And for businesses locating in the borough, if there are very high-quality sports facilities and leisure opportunities nearby, we think that will stand very much to our credit and will appear to incoming businesses as an attractive feature of borough life.
Absolutely. And there's lots of food for thought in some of the initiatives that you touched on, but also a major investment that the borough has seen. I wonder, and although I can appreciate that it's now with the mayor, whether you could touch on the All England Lawn Tennis Club application and kind of the expansion there, and how the borough sees that as kind of fitting into its wider plans.
So, we know there've been strong feelings around this application expressed by some residence groups, and I think following the successful planning application, successful in Merton's terms, permission has been granted, at least by the planning committee. We do believe the argument's more finely balanced than much coverage would credit. As an administration, we've not taken a formal or public position on the application, but we have ensured the planning process takes its own course. There's no doubt that the All England Lawn Tennis Club plays an important role in the borough. It's probably got the most valued tennis championship in the world, and the name Wimbledon has resonance throughout the world, really, and particularly, obviously, with regard to lawn tennis. Now, important factors are that it is the application is centred in an area called Wimbledon Park. Part of it is a municipal park. Part of it is in private ownership at the All England Lawn Tennis Club. It's a place of historic landscape significance. And our ambition to be a borough's sport is reflected in the range of sports already played there. Water sports, athletics, cricket, hockey. And the lake is part of the Capability Brown landscape and important for biodiversity. Now, there was a long-term engagement by the applicant with local residents and in terms of the local plan and the emerging plan. We also had support notified by Historic England and other statutory consultees. And careful consideration was given by the planning committee, and it determined that the benefits to international sport with the championships, with a new 9-hectare park that hadn't been open or available before, a boardwalk around the lake, improvements to biodiversity, a new boathouse and likely athletics facility, improved and opened up views over the historic landscape, that these together outweighed the harm or support or supposed harm by objectors. There will be some harm, but the benefits are greater, even for the historic landscape, which was a landscape at risk. Now, Wandsworth own a small part of the site and have taken a different view, and it's now been called in by the GLA, and our officers will be cooperating with that planning process, and it will be heard by the Deputy Mayor at a date after the forthcoming elections.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And then, of course, we'll be watching with a keen eye on how that application progresses and what you described, and at least what, from what we've seen, certainly seems like an investment that the borough will benefit from immensely. Just off the back of that, if you could touch on how the borough approaches major planning applications. Of course, you've spoken at length, and we can see the benefits of the All England Lawn Tennis Club application, the kind of benefits that will bring. But with quite an active civic community in Merton, kind of need for new investment, what's the approach that the council tends to take on applications that come forward?
Well, I think, as you may gather, we've got a very strong ambition for the borough. We've got superb leadership, so relatively new administration under Councillor Ross Garrod. We are supportive of investments and regeneration to improve the lives of existing and future residents. And we're keen that regeneration is about placemaking, quality of life, ambience, usability, creating places to work, take leisure, and hospitality, eating, drinking, and participating in a wide range of cultural activities. We want buildings and spaces that are energy efficient and adapted to climate change using very low carbon designs, with extensive planting and shade, and flexible in respect of future use, and designed for a range of functions. And we want development to facilitate participation in active travel, exercise, and sport. Now, in terms of our approach to particular planning applications, applicants are encouraged to engage early with the council through pre-app discussions, with our design review panel, and with local residents. Our focus is often on affordable housing and reducing carbon and energy bills. And those aims are set out in the local plan, which is on the verge of being approved, finally, by the inspectors and taken to council after a fairly long time of preparation. And it's something we practice in dealing with planning applications. And that means we're often pushing back against viability assessments. As a council, we're experienced in dealing with difficult schemes, but we note that schemes are often supported once they're built.
Thank you for that. And actually, just touching on two things that you said there, I was really quite interested around placemaking and kind of meanwhile uses that you see coming forward, not least at Morden Town Centre. And I wonder if you could talk a bit more around some of the regeneration plans that you have there, how placemaking forms part of the kind of emergence of the new local plan, and any other regeneration schemes that you think will be of interest to our listeners.
Well, I think placemaking is really what the future Morden Town Centre will be about. So it's clearly an important part of a council's responsibilities to shape the texture and the fabric of the borough. And usually there's only an opportunity for marginal improvements. But sometimes the opportunity arises for a fundamental rethink of how a town centre operates. And that is where we are with Morden today. Now, in many vital respects, Morden has barely changed since 1990, when the Civic Centre began operating there, or arguably 1960, when it was first put up as an office building. And just as the Austin Mini has passed out of fashion, so has suitability to new generations of residents of Morden Town Centre. So the opportunity arises primarily because the council has significant land ownership in Morden. It means we can properly influence and shape what happens there over the next 15 years. Now, there's a danger in presenting transformation in that many residents may think, understandably, sudden change is about to descend upon them, and that is obviously not the case. But we believe that with a clear vision for what we can create together as a community, we can transform what will happen, slowly but surely. We're blessed with wonderful parks nearby, which will enable a new form of living, cheek by jowl with nature, whilst hanging on to the local garden city ethos of the exemplary St Helier London County Council development, and also the John Innes Merton Park. And we want to create a new town centre in the middle of those, if you like, ancient estates, which we can all be proud of. And we intend to create new public and private facilities, leisure, hospitality, retail and commercial, along with beautifully designed, energy-efficient homes, all within easy walking distance of TfL's transport connections, in particular the start of the Northern Line. We've already set in place stepping stones in the local plan, including planning policies that will guide future developments. And we intend an ongoing conversation with residents and businesses. Inevitably, the complexity of the regeneration will mean the future Morden won't be visible for a number of years, but the ethos of a new Morden, what we are all aiming for, will be present throughout. So in the short term, the meanwhile uses of placemaking, we're opening a new cafe, workspace, and nightclub in actually on the ground floor of the Civic Centre building. We're also employing this summer £300,000 worth of investment on a scheme led by Sustrans to consult with residents on new street furniture, on benches, on small green spaces, to make the town centre more colourful and more vibrant, more usable for residents. In the medium term, we'll be working with Transport for London on their land holdings, especially creating, over the next few years, a new pedestrian plaza outside Morden Tube Station by moving the current bus stands and reconfiguring the streetscape. But our long-term ambition is the comprehensive redevelopment of the whole town centre to build up to 2,000 homes as well as the facilities I've spoken of. Now, in consultation, residents have been generally supportive of change, but we know we have to conduct an ongoing conversation with residents and businesses throughout the next few years. In the next couple of years, we'll be looking to find a development partner, to master plan and begin the assembly of sites. We'll be investing ourselves as a council. We're not simply leaving it to the private sector, and we have legacy funding we can call on to begin the process of land assembly.
Well, thank you so much. One thing I did quite touch on there was plans for a new nightclub at the new Civic Centre. I mean, it's not unusual. Lambeth Council were used to work. We were on the same site as Electric Brixton, so yep. Often leaving the office around 5 or 6 o'clock, you'd see lots of people around my age that are queuing to get in, so perhaps you'll join them on even council.
Absolutely, you've got to look at the complete person, and that they have nighttime interests as well as daytime.
Well, exactly. You obviously talked about landholdings, but also the 2,000 new homes that are being planned in the area. I wonder if you could touch on the Clarin project and that enormous investment that will be made to bring forward new homes, and then perhaps also like touched on at the beginning of the podcast that kind of vote of confidence that you've had from the GLA and the Mayor of London in building out some of those four sites and the social rented homes that will come forward there.
Well, in terms of the Clarion investment, this began by the transfer of all the council's housing stock in 2010. I won't disguise, I think that was a mixed blessing,
sure.
Because over the ensuing years we have had difficult disrepair issues, but we relate to Clarion in two ways. One is, yes, in terms of the existing housing stock, but also in respect of their current regeneration proposals. With Clarion, we're working closely on those. And they're across three estates, Eastfields in Mitcham, High Path in South Wimbledon, and Ravensbury in Morden. And they've already begun on those three sites. And we're gradually turning a current 1,200 homes, which will all be demolished, into over 3,000 new homes, without obliging any residents to move from their current estates. We're improving the built environment hugely, creating more play space, green spaces, new community centres. We're addressing overcrowding, and the new homes will be far more energy efficient than the old ones built in the period from the 60s to the 80s. The three estates are very different geographically and in character, and one of them, Eastfields, is actually has been in such a poor state it's actually attracted national television coverage. We know it's at the end of its life and it needs replacing. We started with 10 commitments between the council and Clarion that ensured that residents, current residents as well as future residents, are placed at the heart of the regeneration proposals. The new build started in 2014, and the in line with the council's local plan, planning permissions were granted in 2018, and now we're in the build phase for all three estates. And there are regular programme reviews of the business plan coupled with viability reviews through a whole series of planning applications. We recently had a CPO process in front of the inspectors, that's last month, in respect of all three estates, which went through, I believe, very smoothly. In fact, no objectors actually turned up to object, and that was a tribute to the work that had been done.
Absolutely.
And it does require close partnership and engagement with the residents. So that is a very promising series of developments that will certainly result in a completely renewed environment across the three estates, but also many new affordable homes. But as you've mentioned, we're also building our own council homes. And I would say since the Second World War, there have never been enough homes built, except when councils have taken the lead with building council homes. And that's why Merton is intent on building council homes again. So in partnership with Savills, we've surveyed council-owned land and buildings for their suitability to build homes on or to sell to help finance our home building programme. We have a collaboration agreement with L&Q to provide immediate construction expertise, and we're beginning to build our own team, starting with the appointment of a new head of housing development shortly. We put together a capital programme of $28 million, and we're very pleased, as you mentioned, to have received confirmation in the last few days from the Mayor of London to fund up to 50% of the construction costs of the 93 homes on the first four sites. We aim to have 400 homes underway within 4 years and 750 within 8 years. And our survey of all our land ownership and Savills analysis suggests that is quite practicable. The first four sites are to incorporate passive house principles. We actually already have planning permission for them, but we are renewing the design. Weston Williamson are the architects, and Quoda, the passive house consultants. We're looking at traditional building contracts, and we'll be inviting tenders later this year. We'll also be looking for development partners for two of the higher value sites in the Wimbledon area, Wimbledon Town Centre and nearby. And we're soon to engage in soft market testing. But we're very pleased to be in the council house game once more.
No, I certainly tell by just the ambition of some of the works that you talked about there, whether it's Clarion addressing the conditions at Eastwood Estate and giving those residents a kind of new lease of life and properties that they will either live in or kind of new residents to come forward, but also the willingness that Merton has, like many other London councils, to work with development partners and RPs, so registered providers like L&Q and Clarion, to bring forward the homes that people need. Because I think it's one thing to regenerate town centres and bring forward good meanwhile uses, but you also need residents that are committed to the area and want to make Wimbledon their home. And the thing that I'm sensing here is that you want people to stay in the borough.
We do. We want to some extent, attract new residents and certainly new businesses, but we do want people to stay in the borough. But we're very conscious of the fact there is a housing crisis in London. In Merton, we got 10,000 people on the waiting list for new housing. We know we have to build and build well, and perhaps build better than we have built in the past.
I wonder if you could touch on kind of passive house standard. It's obviously something that councils look to. It's something that the GLA and the mayor has been pushing. What is it about creating more sustainable homes that Merton sees as kind of driving factor of council house building, but also a standard that you look to in your emerging local plan?
Well, partly it builds on the Merton rule that we had in the past, where we had a name for a very environmental approach addressing climate change in terms of our planning policy. But we know we got to future-proof the housing that we put up. It's no good building housing now if within 5 or 10 years remedial work needs to take place. And we know that with passive house principles and certification in particular, as you're building, you have to go through a very tightly controlled process to ensure quality. And that quality assurance in the new build is very attractive. But we also know from having visited other sites that actually these are attractive homes for local residents, but they're also cheaper homes to maintain. And the energy bills are perhaps 30% of what you might otherwise expect. And with the very high price of energy at the moment, and the need on an ongoing basis to tackle carbon emissions from housing, we think passive house is the approach we want to take.
Yeah, and I'm sure many listeners to this podcast, but also the residents that will benefit from those developments that come forward, will be very grateful that it's a standard that you're willing and able to set. I just wanted to touch, actually, and I think it's a good segue, not just with your ambitions, but also some of the challenges that councils are facing. How Merton's confronting those financial challenges, whether you've seen a kind of slowdown in development in the borough, and what you're doing actively to try and encourage more investment and to push forward some of the schemes that you're pioneering yourself.
Well, I think from the council's perspective, the starting point is to ensure our finances are in order. There is no question of any instability in Merton's finances. We have a balanced budget. We're a very well-run council, and I think that's important to be able to present an attractive face to developers and development partners, that they know that they're dealing with a council that knows what it's doing. And I think there's been a recent decline in development across London, in fact, because of the inflationary pressures in the construction industry. And we're very mindful of that. And we, to some extent, we've been able to take advantage of that by being able to bring in construction experts, particularly from Housing Association, at cost. But we know in future we are going to depend on an upturn in the construction market if we're going to be able to carry through the likes of the regeneration of Morden Town Centre. You know, there has to be an atmosphere of confidence and optimism in the future. And I think government's role, local government, central government, is to provide that stability. And that's what we're about.
Oh, thank you. And I think that in itself is a good sign that, Merton takes seriously its role in kind of being careful stewards of the borough's finances, but also making sure that you're an attractive place to invest. I think just a segue, also as we close, I wonder what one ask you'd have of the next Mayor of London, whether that may be. Of course, it looks likely, and I'm hoping that it certainly will be Mayor Sadiq Khan. And then one ask that you may have of the next government, which also looks like you should be on our side of the fence.
Well, I believe we already have the support of the Mayor in principle for our council house ambitions. And the mayor himself has set out his own ambitions in that regard in the last few days. But we'd particularly ask for the mayor's support in respect to the comprehensive regeneration of Morden Town Centre. And there is land ownership there in respect to TfL, and TfL do, if you like, control the buses and the street network. We believe we need to move from a transport engineering solution to a people-focused town centre. And it means, for instance, moving the rather unsightly bus stands from outside the underground station. And we intend to create a pedestrian plaza in that location. So in order to regenerate our land holdings and TfL's land holdings long-term, we need that close partnership, and we believe we will get it.
Well, if anyone's listening in the Cube, you've heard Councillor Judge loud and clear. And just the final ask of the next government and what you'd like to see come from a new administration in Whitehall.
Well, there's a huge need in this country to retrofit homes, schools and business buildings to make them more energy efficient. The carbon emissions from our housing stock and from our building stock at the moment are considerable. But it's not obvious what the financial solution is to that, and many residents will find it difficult immediately to obtain access to money to do that, as will businesses and certainly councils. I would ask that the government puts together a funded programme to support residents, businesses and councils, and to reduce carbon, save on energy bills and enable more comfortable and warmer properties and address damp and mould. But an untried approach I believe they could use would be to create a new system of fiscal incentives for homeowners, removing VAT on home improvements and remodelling the council tax to create a range of discounts across the different council tax bands for more energy efficient homes. I think that is a practicable solution, and it could kickstart regeneration across the country.
I think on that note, and that's, I think, a worthy ask of the next government, we'll hopefully see a kickstart of new house building, but also the next generation of businesses come forward, not only in a place like Merton, but across London and the UK. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sidhu.
Councillor Judge, and lots of food for thought, I think, and it's been a delight having you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Better Places. Don't forget to like and subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you soon.